Live and in living color in Nashville, Tennessee, this is The Six. Good evening, everyone. Connor Newt, Parker Kelly here with you on this beautiful Tuesday. A little hot out there, but a little bit of football weather in the air. Not a great intro by me. But anyways, we are here. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. The Tennessee Titans on the practice field out in Santa Clara, braving the challenges of the electrical substation. We'll talk all about that today. Sunshine, how we doing today?
You know, that nickname's really growing on me, and I like it because Remember the Titans is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Yep.
And, it's growing on me.
It should. Anything from Herman Boone is good. You should accept it.
That is true.
Without further ado, the Tennessee Titans in action today in Santa Clara, taking on the 49ers of San Francisco. A chippy day at that, it sounds like, based on the reporting coming from multiple sources out there. Many fights out there, including two that saw left tackle Dan Moore and left tackle Austin Deculus. So the top two left tackles being tossed from practice after punches were thrown. And we've talked about this before with Robert Saleh. If you throw a punch in a practice, you're kicked out. We saw it with Jeffrey Simmons. And it's probably what's going to happen to you in a real game. So, Parker, my question to you is, with the fiery hostility, aggressiveness, whatever word you want to put on there, that we saw at Titans practice today, or at least we heard about, do you find that competitive, or do you find that to be
detrimental?
Detrimental. Thank you. Words are hard. Detrimental to a team trying to find their footing and become a better team than they were last year.
I still think it's normal. It's part of the training camp process. And remember, this is the first time that the Tennessee Titans have gone up against new blood, and it's not, you know, them playing the same, you know, defensive faces every single day. They're going up against the 49ers in a joint practice. So I still think it's normal. However, there has to be a level of football IQ may not be the right term, but you need to be smart. You don't want to get carried away with this. And it's reached a point where not just with the Titans and the San Francisco 49ers, but you're hearing about these fights really throughout the NFL because there are a lot of joint practices going on right now. So yeah. Robert Saleh, again, I give credit to him for setting the tone right away with Jeffrey Simmons. Now that anybody else tries this, they get the same result. They're kicked out of practice. So there's no room for gray area. It's all black and white. So I give credit to Robert Saleh for that. But at the same time, too, a lot of this might have been pre-planned. I'm sure the San Francisco 49ers also had some words that they wanted to exchange, some extracurricular that they wanted to let out. Cedric Gray talked about it in his media availability after practice. I'm sure a lot of this was pre-planned, too.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Because if you recall Friday night at the Blue-White scrimmage when we heard from Cam Ward, he said a word I can't use on the air, but basically he said, we can't wait to get out there and talk our you-know-what. So I'm sure a lot of it was pre-planned just to get the team fired up, to get guys rally behind them. I don't think it's detrimental. I think this is normal. I think this is kind of what you see, and like you said, you're seeing it across the league. I believe it was Jets and Browns joint practice today, had two fights in it as well. So you're seeing it across the league. It's the newness of welcome back to football. It's the hot weather out there. It's all of these things that combine to form this emotion that you can't really describe unless you're in the moment. So I don't think it's detrimental. However, I don't really like that it's ramping up to the level it is. And this, again, this is normal, especially with joint practices. You have guys trying to set a tone for the start of their season to another team. But I think we need to move past the throwing punches part if we're the Titans, because obviously Robert Saleh has set the standard. You throw a punch, just a singular punch, you are out of the practice. And we saw two guys suffer that fate today. So I think we need to, I don't want to say see more strictness from the head coaching staff, but we need to do something to get that implemented and make sure we're not doing that again.
I think Saleh's a good leader. Just something that I'm thinking about, this is not, you know, a fact or anything. It's not even speculation. It's just something that I'm thinking about. I hope this isn't becoming encouraged behavior. Robert Saleh talked about, you know, we want to talk our fill in the blank.
Right.
We want to play fast. We want to play violent. And I get that that's part of the game. I've been in practices that got really heated too, and that sort of thing just happens, naturally when you got 11 men on offense, 11 men on defense, testosterone, it's going to boil over, and eventually there's going to be, some scrappiness. It happens too, especially with the first time that you're seeing a new team to kick off a new year, even if it is the preseason. I just hope that it's not gotten to the point where one player sees, player A sees player B fighting in practice, and then the next practice, player A wants to get in on some. I just hope that it's not encouraged. I don't think that it is, but it is kind of eye-opening the amount of fights that have happened for the Titans this offseason.
Yeah, a little bit. But I think it goes into the we're trying to play fast and violent on and off the field. So if you're fast and violent and set the tone like that, then people are going to they're trying to establish themselves as a tough team in this league. And rightfully so. I don't blame them. But I think we need to focus more on the actual football part instead of the let's make a statement, let's start some conflict. Overall, I think the situation was handled exactly the way it was with Jeffrey Simmons. I think it was handled well. I think you set a standard. Rules are rules. You oblige by the rules. If you don't, then you're out of the practice. So I think we saw that. Of course, everyone's going to ask, how did Cam Ward look? Solid day all around for him. According to Jim Wyatt, he is 16 of 23 with two touchdowns, those to Calvin Ridley and Tony Pollard, and one interception. The one interception is a little bit glaring to me. It was right after Dan Moore threw the punch. He was tossed out, so he loses his top two left tackles and is stuck with a third string and immediately throws an interception. So that's a little bit glaring, and we'll talk a little bit more about Cam Ward later in the program. But obviously, I think if you're just looking at the numbers, and none of us know what he actually looked like out there in terms of game flow because we weren't out there, but if you're just looking at the numbers, I think that's an all-around solid day for Cam Ward.
Sounds like it. Again, I wasn't out there, so I can't comment too much on what I didn't see. The interception, it could have been, I'm not trying to defend Cam Ward again because I wasn't out there, so I can't really defend him. But considering that Dan Moore was ejected from practice, Austin Deculus, who is, I don't know if he's next in line to be your swing tackle. It seems like the battles between him and undrafted free agent Brandon Crenshaw Dixon, who was with this team last year as well.
Yeah.
But when you have a left tackle who, let's face it, Dan Moore's not exactly great in the NFL. And if you're relying on his backups, they're not going to be better than Dan Moore if they're backing him up. So if you have a guy that's protecting your blind side, the blind side of Cam Ward, that is, third string, I could understand if I'm the quarterback wanting to maybe get the ball out of my hands quicker. Everything starts to speed up. My internal clock starts to speed up because I know I got a guy that is going to be a turnstile at left tackle. So that may have contributed to it, but again, I wasn't out there.
Right. We can't tell you what it looked like because we didn't see it. I'm just going off of the reporting off. I think there were five guys that we know that were out there. Kaharski, Wyatt, Buck was out there, TD, Nick Suss. Those are the five I know were out there. So I'm just going off the reporting of them. But if you're a stat watcher and you're looking at the stats, 16 of 23 for two touchdowns and an interception, not a great day, but I'd say a solid day and something that you can look at more positively if you're looking for progression from Cam Ward this training camp.
No doubt. And again, we saw this firsthand on Friday. I told Jake on Next Man Up yesterday that I thought it was the best practice I've ever seen from Cam Ward in person at the
Friday?
blue and white scrimmage.
Yeah.
So there was momentum. The offense looked really good. Gunnar Helm had a touchdown. Carnell Tate, obviously, with the one-handed catch. Chim Dike had a touchdown. So there was momentum for the offense heading into this week. And you just want to continue to see what Robert Saleh's emphasized, what Brian Daboll's emphasized, is Cam Ward making the right decisions play in and play out. Now, it sounds like from the interception, he didn't make the right decision there, but overall, it sounds like he's building off of what he was able to do last week. And from everything that I saw, and you could probably back me up on this because you were out there too, the offense has a lot of momentum. So now we get to see what they look like in a game type setting on Thursday night. Plus, Robert Saleh said all the guys are going to play.
Yeah, which is good. I would do the same thing. I need to see at least a series, but it sounds like he's going to play him for a little bit more than that. So I think you need to see starting reps in a preseason game for your ones, just because they've never played together on a not that it's a regulation or it isn't a regulation game, but not that it's a game that matters. But you still want to see game flow and how it moves in a real-life game setting. So I would play them for at least two series. That's what I would do.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure they will play. I could see the starting offense, starting defense playing two series. And if that second series doesn't go how they want, maybe going out there a three series. But I think it's safe to assume that two is probably going to be it.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. Our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 3555, or yeah, there's only three fives there. 3555. Wait, that's three. Anyways, for all we know, the pocket was clean. Hate speculating on things you know zero details about. I don't think we're hating on anything, Parker. I think we're calling it exactly what it says we're calling it. We don't know if the pocket was clean. All we know it was an interception, and you know, obviously interceptions come with poor choice, or maybe it was a good play. We don't know. The fact of the matter is that stat line reads one INT. So there you go. That's all we're saying.
And I'm just going off of what could have contributed to the interception. I didn't say it was the reason for the interception. I can't say that. So I'm just giving a reason. If this was after, like you said, after Dan Moore got ejected, Austin Deculus was still around by this point. Wouldn't he have been?
Yes.
But anyway, like.
He had been tossed and then Dan Moore. Yeah.
I've watched Austin Deculus, and I struggle to imagine that he'd make the 53 on many other NFL teams. So it's not exactly like Austin Deculus is this great backup swing tackle.
Based on the text history of said texter, it looks like a Cam Ward sucks, Will Levis rules kind of texter. So don't take any stock into that.
We have a couple of those.
Yeah, I welcome the text. It helps us out. I welcome it. Anyway, 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We got a lot of Titans topics to hit today. Want to talk about the defense because we didn't touch on it in this first segment. Something important in an observation that I'm gathering as we get into joint practices and into the preseason. And then we'll focus in on Cam Ward a little more specifically later on in the program. And of course, Parker, we have to wrap things up with a little where are they now. But coming up next, this Titans secondary, according to reports, not an ideal day for them. Allowed 5 touchdowns across multiple team periods passing. Concerned about that? We'll discuss that coming up next. Connor Newt, Parker Kelly here with you. This is The 6 here on 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. This is The 6 here on 102.5 The Game. Connor Newt, Parker Kelly here with you, talking Titans, as we normally do. It's usually the topic of conversation here on this program. So, Parker, based on all reports, and again, I preface it, we were not out there. We did not see exactly how it looked. But based on the reports that the Titans reporters that are being paid to be out there are giving us, a bad day from the secondary. By my count and by the count of Nick Suss, 5 touchdowns passing, giving up in between all periods today. It is reported that Brock Purdy found Deebo Samuel twice in the red zone in that period of practice. So, with that being said, as much as we've talked about the corner room, as much as we talked about the secondary and their lack of depth, does this concern you yet?
Well, it's not encouraging, that's for sure. And Sala, I thought Sala had some great comments after the post-scrimmage, the blue and white scrimmage on Friday night, talking about how we didn't really see anything from the Titans offense going deep down the field. Well, that's because Sala's defense, the way they run it, is designed to keep everything in front of them. So the fact that they gave up so much over their heads and 5 touchdowns today – that's not encouraging. I know that Cordell Flott wasn't at full strength at corner. So, he's dealing with something there, but no, it's not encouraging. But at the same time too, I think with this offense, and the way that Brock Purdy systematically, the way Kyle Shanahan plays to his strengths and puts him in good situations, I think that plays a role in it too, but definitely not great to hear.
I'm not completely out on this corner room yet. Obviously, it's the first joint practice with the 49ers. But you're right. It is discouraging to hear this. And it's something I've been semi-concerned with since the start of the offseason, is the lack of depth that this corner room possesses. You feel good about what you have on the top. Alante Taylor, who I saw was ranked like fifth in riskiest contracts in the NFL. So that's a whole separate issue. But from what we've seen in inter-squad practices, Alante Taylor looks good at the position. Cordell Flott, you think he has a high ceiling. You think he has some promise. And then you have Joshua Williams, who I guess was sort of a contributor in Kansas City. Marcus Harrison, the nickel. It's a solid four core. Core four. But under that, there's not much. So I'm curious and I'm worried that if this top legion of corners doesn't perform to the ability that the Titans are expecting them to, under that, you don't have much. Safeties are an issue, too. I think I read that Amani Hooker got burnt earlier today, too. So I need to see improved pass coverage for this secondary. And I understand you're going up against one of the NFC's best, or at least they're projected to be that. Mike Evans was back out at practice today. They're slowly starting to get guys back in that roster as they were injury-riddled throughout the beginnings of training camp. But we need to see some improvement from this defense. And again, one-day instance. Maybe they come out on Thursday and we see them in full force and we actually get to see what they do and the defense looks great. But it's not encouraging to hear that. Not at all. So I agree with you. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Let's go to our phone lines. Our buddy Adam in Portland is on the line waiting for us. Adam, go ahead.
Connor, I think you need to calm down. for the most part, I kind of get what you're saying, dude. I think you need to calm down just because, number one, the corners couldn't be worse than what we trotted out there last year, right? Like a bunch of no-name undrafted dudes. Like, it could not be worse than that. Also, nobody's going to be good if you're not allowed to hit the quarterback, if you're not allowed to put pressure on them. So, like, yeah, I don't know. I didn't put any stock in today. And like, you think Robert Saleh couldn't have figured out a way to put pressure on Purdy if he needed to? Like, I don't know. I don't buy it. It's the first practice, man, first time against another team. I just don't buy that it was as bad as they say it was. Like, I'd say that to say we could win four games and I won't be surprised this year, but yeah. I don't put any stock in today because you weren't allowed to hit their quarterback.
Thanks, Adam. Yeah, I never thought I would be told to calm down. It's kind of a freeing feeling that I'm the negative Nelly on the airwaves. Not really. That's not what I want to be. But I'm just going off of what the reporting says. And based on what the reporting says and what's being put out there, five touchdowns across multiple periods is not encouraging. Look, I am not saying that this corner room is awful or this corner room is anywhere as close to as bad as it was last year when you had undrafted guys late in the season that were out there and you very clearly didn't care about the rest of the season. I don't think we're there yet. One day. And I agree with Adam's point that you don't think Robert Saleh, the defensive genius as he claims he is, can get a resolution there. We got a long way to go before we figure that out. But off of one day, if we're going off one day conclusions, not an ideal start to joint practices for the secondary.
So you're telling me that we shouldn't overreact to one day of joint practices. Is that what you're saying?
I am. I guess that's the conclusion that we've come to. Yes.
So yeah, and that's the thing. When Saleh was brought in, I don't think anybody questioned his defensive prowess. He's going to watch the film. He probably has already. He's going to make some adjustments. I trust the defensive side of the ball. I do. I do have concerns about the offense, but I definitely feel a lot more comfortable with Brian Daboll running things versus somebody else. So the defense will make their adjustments. The 49ers definitely won the practice today if we're declaring winners and losers. But no, it wasn't encouraging to hear that, but again, they get another crack at it on Thursday night. So maybe there will be maybe the Titans will have a little bit more favor come Thursday night at 8 o'clock.
I mean, it's just discouraging, but like Adam said, like you're saying, like I'm saying, it's a one-day instance. Guess what? You have Thursday to go out there and prove something. If the Titans go out there on Thursday and the first drive defensively they have is a three and out, I will eat every word I'm saying right now. If they go in this season and they're a top 10 defense, I'm going to look even more like an idiot today. And I'm not saying that they're going to be a horrible defense. In fact, I've been one of the ones on this station banking on the fact that they're going to be a good defense because of what they've brought in, because of the pieces on their roster, because of the system around them. But it's overreaction season, everyone. And taking one-day instances, especially when we get to joint practices, is kind of what we do here, right? Not that I'm freaking out about the defense, and maybe I do need to calm down a little bit. But it is, if we're going off a one-day instance, it is a little bit discouraging to hear that the secondary didn't look as good as I would have hoped.
And with Imani Hooker, too, you know, him getting burnt a couple times. Imani Hooker is a good safety in the NFL. He's not elite, but he's not bad. So, you know, and with this 49ers receiving core, I mean, losing Ricky Pearsall was obviously one of the headlines of their offseason so far.
Right.
But, you know, they got Mike Evans. You know, he was in there working a little bit. You know, Deshaun Stribling out of Ole Miss was drafted with their first pick in the second round. He was known as a burner at Ole Miss and ran a 4.3 40. They still have guys like Christian Kirk and Debo Samuels on that 1 year. So this is a, you know, when healthy, one of the best offenses in the NFL. And nobody expects the Titans to be able to truly compete with the best of the best yet. That seems a little bit down the road. All I know is the floor of this roster has certainly been elevated, but for me to say that they're going to go out and compete with the San Francisco 49ers when it's best on best, that just seems like a stretch right now.
615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to get involved in the conversation. Coming up next, Parker, I want to take a little bit of a deeper dive on Cam Ward. But given the team he was playing up against, with the stat line that he had, and we went through that a little bit earlier, is it okay for him to be solid and not groundbreaking in a joint practice? I think so. We'll discuss that coming up next. This is The Six. Connor Newt, Parker Kelly here with you on 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. This is The Six here on 102.5 The Game. Connor Newt, Parker Kelly here with you talking Tennessee Titans training camp. And of course, the Titans were out in Santa Clara, California with joint practices against the San Francisco 49ers in the elements, in the electrical substation, which, as it stands right now, knock on wood, which is good that this desk in front of me is wood, no injuries for the Titans. So maybe the Titans are debunking the conspiracy theory. Again, knock on wood, but maybe that's what's happening. So, Parker, we kind of talked about it a little bit at the start of the show. Cam Ward, if you're a statistician and you're stat-watching the practice, and for some reason if you keep stats on the practice, like a couple of our colleagues do, then you saw that Cam Ward had an okay day against the 49ers. 16 of 23 for two touchdowns, both passing touchdowns to Calvin Ridley and Tony Pollard, and an interception. If you're a statistician and you're stat watching that, I would say that's a solid day. But to me, that's not anything, oh my God, he's going to take this league by storm. And to me, seeing that and hearing that, knowing the defense that he's up against and knowing the kind of caliber team that the 49ers are poised to be, I think that's okay. I'm not making excuses for Cam. I'm not trying to give him the ultimate benefit of the doubt like some of the other people do. But I think based on what we see from the 49ers on a yearly basis when fully healthy, and they were not fully healthy today, but they had some good players out there on defense. Based on what we saw today and what we heard coming out of there today, I think having a fine day for Cam Ward is okay for the development, and I think that's a positive thing to hear coming out of the camp at Santa Clara.
Quarterback development is always going to be one of the things that requires the most patience in the NFL, especially a young quarterback like Cam Ward being the first overall pick last year. And you saw him cut down on the mistakes, cut down on the turnovers as it got to the end of the regular season last year. So you're seeing ups, you're seeing downs, which I just think is totally normal. You just hope that for his development, you start to see him pick it up more once the season gets here. You don't have to have everything figured out by right. The time week one gets here. You really don't. And this is the first time that he's seeing a new defense in year two, not the same old Titans defense that he sees every day. And the 49ers, even last year, I mean, you think about all the injuries that they had last year, but yet Solid was somehow able to take a bunch of backups and get them playing really good on the defensive side of the ball. So now that, you know, they're getting some people back, that's a really good unit. It was an okay day for Cam Ward. it was just a day. It doesn't help any hype or anything like that, but I think this is totally normal.
I think it was fair to expect somewhat of a comeback to earth period from him based on the weekend he had this weekend, and you and I experienced it firsthand on Friday. He looked great. He was accurate. He was calm. He was poised in the pocket. He found receivers open, especially Carnell Tate. He found Gunnar Helm in the back of the end zone. He found Shim Dike in the back of the end zone. He was fantastic on Friday night, and he continued that on Sunday. I know you weren't there. I was out there. But his connection with Carnell Tate is something that's going to help him. So I think it was fair to expect a little bit of a back-down-to-earth period from Cam Moore. But I still think it's a good day from him. I think if you look at the stats, and look, I am one that firmly believes, and I am confident you as a former quarterback believe this as well. Stats aren't everything. As TD says, stats are like a bikini. They show a lot, but they don't show everything. I think that, you know, if you look at the stats, you feel, all right, that's a solid day, I guess, from him. But just watch him play. I don't think he's going to light the league on fire like Patrick Mahomes-esque, but the kid's got something. The kid's got the intangibles. The way he moves around the pocket, his arm strength. If he can hone in that accuracy and combine that with his arm strength, then I think he's going to be a problem. And that's kind of the message of this season, right? Can he, with a Brian Daboll system, who, as we know, can be considered an elite play caller in this league, given the right tools, can he fit into that system? And overall, if he does, will that system help him grow? That's the overall message. But not every day is going to be, oh my God, he threw for 350 yards and four touchdowns. Look at him go. I'm okay with a 16 for 23 for two touchdowns and an interception day against a good defense. I think that's fine. I think that's a positive to come away from today for the Tennessee Titans.
QB development's not linear. Not everybody can come in the league from day one. And technically, it wasn't day one for Patrick Mahomes, but came in during his first season as a starter, which was his second year in the NFL, took the league by storm and never really looked back.
Yeah.
But you see, stories like Sam Darnold, and think about all that he went through starting his career in New York, getting traded, like spent some time with the Panthers and the 49ers, went to Minnesota, Kevin O'Connell revived his career, won a Super Bowl last year, and even today, like the most recent example, J.J. McCarthy, a former 10th overall pick or top 10 pick, was benched in favor of Kyler Murray. So there are – not everybody has the same path. Not everybody has the same development. It's not linear. It doesn't. The line doesn't just go up all the time. Like, there are ups, there are downs, but you've seen a lot more ups lately from Cam Ward, which I think is encouraging. Today doesn't really do anything to grow that bubble or anything, grow the hype bubble.
Right.
But it was okay, and that's fine.
I liken Cam Ward's current situation to one that's near and dear to both of our hearts, and that's the situation in Chicago with Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams' rookie season was fine, showed some flashes, wasn't entirely great. Cam Ward's rookie season was fine, showed some flashes, showed some bad things, wasn't entirely great. And then last season, we see Caleb Williams start to come alive. The Iceman, as you and I call him. We saw him in the biggest moments deliver. We saw him... just some of his mechanics. And look, Caleb Williams and Cam Ward are two very different style quarterbacks. Cam Ward's more of your pocket passer. Caleb Williams has a big arm, but he delivers most when he's using his legs. But you saw situational things like building a receiver room around him, a new offensive system, a better defense on the other side for Chicago. You saw things like that play a factor into the development of Caleb Williams. And now I think we can confidently say that Caleb Williams is maybe a top 12, 13 quarterback in this league right now. I'm not saying that precisely is going to happen for Cam Ward, but the pieces are in place. And based on what we've seen in OTAs and training camp so far, the development is starting to take hold, and he's starting to get things. He's starting to familiarize himself with the guys around him, like Carnell Tate, Wandell Robinson, Gunnar Helm, even Calvin Ridley on occasion. He's starting to grasp some QB mechanics that simply weren't there last year. He's playing to his strengths, and I think you and I have both said this. Cam Ward is best when the play busts and when he's off script. And I'm not saying you need to do that every single play, but Cam Ward is a master at improvisation. And we're starting to see those traits take a hold. I hope that that's the message this season for Cam Ward, is hone in those traits, capitalize on them, and make it your own. Because once you do, as I think it was it Mike McCoy in the quarterback documentary said, this game is going to become so easy for you once you figure some of the little things out. And I think he's starting to do that. So today, although not the prettiest day, not the sexiest day from the stats standpoint, I think it's a positive development for the Titans that Cam Ward is not the full disaster coming from training camp.
And even the Caleb Williams example that you brought up, he announced himself into the league this year. Jeremy Fowler, the article that he put out, maybe about a month ago, the top 10 quarterback rankings from executive scouts and people around the NFL, they had Caleb Williams as a top 10 quarterback in the NFL.
I think there's an argument.
Whether you agree with that or not is a moot point, but Caleb Williams still has things that he needs to work on. Yeah, they had the 7 fourth quarter comebacks this year, most of the NFL, but his completion percentage was worse than it was during his rookie year. And there are things that he has to work on getting acclimated to Ben Johnson's offense. So there are going to be ups and downs. You know, Cam Ward may have a Caleb Williams type year this year. I have no idea. But there are still going to be things that he needs to improve on, even if he does take a big step this year. That's just kind of going to be the nature of it. Quarterbacks, I don't care where you played at in college. I don't care if you played at Alabama. I don't care if you played at Miami. I don't care if you played at Division II school, Ferris State. There's a learning curve once you get to the NFL, and it takes time. And I think, you know, we live in this microwave society. Everything's expedited. Everything's faster now. Things take time, and that is okay.
Would you be okay if Cam Ward became Jared Goff?
I'd say my expectations for Cam Ward are higher than what Jared Goff, because Jared Goff's been really great. He's been great for the Lions after, you know, being left out to die by the LA Rams. But Cam Ward is more talented than Jared Goff was coming out of college.
I agree.
My expectations for Cam Ward are higher than Jared Goff.
I think they should be, because, I mean, both were number one overall picks, but I agree with you to the point that Cam Ward just has more talent and more experience than Jared Goff did coming out of college. And Jared Goff has the benefit of he is in a perfect situation in Detroit right now offensively. You've got a top probably 5 receiver in Amon-Ra St. Brown. You've got probably a top 2 or 3 running back in Jahmyr Gibbs. You're probably throwing to a top 3 tight end in Sam Laporta. That's a good offensive line. He's in a great situation. And yes, he is a game manager. He is a quarterback that you can safely plug into that system and feel okay with it. But there are a lot of things that allow Jared Goff to be successful. I want Cam Ward to go beyond that. I want Cam Ward to be the kind of quarterback that we look at and say, yeah, if we were to put him on any offense in this league, he would elevate them. There are certain guys in this league right now that we can do that with. Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, guys that elevate their team. And yes, a lot of that is situational. Look at who Joe Burrow's throwing to. Look at who Lamar Jackson is throwing to. Yes, that's all situational. And I hope we get to the point where we're talking about Cam Ward as an elite quarterback. I'm not saying that's going to happen. But I want bigger things for Cam Ward than Jared Goff. Jared Goff is a great baseline. I want bigger things than that. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. One final segment for us here on the 6 o'clock hour. Parker Kelly and I will do battle. Where are they now? Coming up next, right here on 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. This is The 6 here on 102.5 The Game. Connor Newt, Parker Kelly here with you. About to wrap things up. The Air Raid coming up next with Parker Kelly talking all things college football. I think I heard from a little birdie, Parker, that it's prediction season over on your program.
Force tonight, I'm going to get very controversial. My CFP predictions 1.0. So I reserve the right to be wrong. I'm going to do 2 versions of these, and I think I'm going to do it next week will be my final version, so I reserve the right to be wrong. But I want to get I want to get people riled up a little bit tonight.
There you go. Is this a top 25 you're about to do?
No, top 25 is coming soon, though. We got to spread it out, Connor.
Oh, I'm excited for top 25. We finally got the On3 one that came out today, and it's not the real one, but it gives you kind of a sense of where the media might be trending. And there's a lot of them I was interested in. Like, they had Alabama at 14, I think, and I was like, that's a little low. So I'm excited.
I'm still disappointed on some of the top 10 slots, but I can address that at a later time.
Yeah, you can always. It's 1.0. You reserve the right to be wrong, and always reserve the right to be wrong. Patent pending. Always do that. Without further ado, we wrap things up with America's favorite game, Where Are They Now? There we go. I think you all know the rules at this point, so let's get into it. All right, Parker, we are going to the gridiron. Miami Dolphins, New England Patriots, New Orleans Saints.
Is this the offensive player?
This is an offensive player. That's just his NFL career. He's currently in the UFL with the Louisville Kings.
Oh, I didn't even know the Louisville Kings were a team. is he a wide receiver?
He's a bit of everything, but most notably a wide receiver.
And played his college ball where?
Yeah, I think you know. He's a bit of a legend where I come from.
Oh, yes. Are we talking about former quarterback Lynn Bowden?
We are talking about former quarterback Lynn
Let's
Bowden.
Go. What a legend. What a legend.
That's Belk Bowl champion Lynn Bowden to you, pal.
Hey, I will never forget his first touchdown pass. That was awesome.
Lynn Bowden, the only one who could throw for about 80 yards and rush for 150 and make it look pretty well doing it. All right, who you got?
I'm going to be disappointed if you don't get this one. This is a layup, and I might surprise you with where I'm going because I'm not going to the gridiron to start. I'm actually going to the diamond.
Oh.
So this player is from Brentwood, California. Not Brentwood, Tennessee, Brentwood, California.
Okay.
He played his college ball within the state of Tennessee.
Okay.
It is an SEC school. He played first base, and he was drafted 2 years ago by the Milwaukee Brewers. And today, or it was either today or yesterday, he got the call-up that he will be playing with the Nashville Sounds.
I know exactly who this is. This is former Tennessee Vol and national champion, Mr. Blake Burke.
Congratulations.
Shout out, Blake Burke.
I threw you an alley-oop.
And if you want to hear Blake Burke's debut, he is over on 94.9 The Fan as the Sounds are in action tonight.
That's why I did it.
There you go. Good for you.
Famous plug for 94.9 and Jeff Helm. He does a great job.
He does. I think our theme today, for me at least, will be SEC quarterbacks. So we're going back to the gridiron. Pittsburgh Steelers, Tennessee Titans, Arizona Cardinals, Minnesota Vikings, San Francisco 49ers, New England Patriots, Detroit Lions.
Ooh. One more time. I'm going to need that list. That was a lot of teams.
All right. Pittsburgh Steelers, Tennessee Titans, Arizona Cardinals, Minnesota Vikings, San Francisco 49ers, New England Patriots, Detroit Lions.
I don't get a position?
I told you, SEC quarterbacks.
Oh, SEC quarterback. Okay.
I'm disappointed this is taking you this long.
I'm honestly disappointed myself. Wait a minute. How long ago did this guy play in college? How long ago was it?
Drafted in 2018.
With the Pittsburgh Steelers and then came to the Tennessee Titans. And then he's in New England right now.
He's in Detroit right now.
Oh, he's in Detroit. Oh, Josh Dobbs.
There you go. I'm disappointed it took you that long. It's a guy in your backyard.
I forgot he got original. He's just been with so many teams, so I forgot where he was drafted.
Yeah, that's a good landing spot for him as a backup, though, in Detroit.
Yeah, especially with Teddy Bridgewater.
With Teddy. You
know. Yeah.
Loserville.
Okay. So this guy is actually not playing anymore.
Okay.
This is going to be tough. He played college football at Alabama. Okay, under Nick Saban.
Okay.
He was the starting quarterback for, I think, a couple seasons. He was undrafted in the 2015 NFL draft. He played in the CFL for the Toronto Argonauts, the Saskatchewan Roughriders, the Wollongong Devils. He spent a little bit of time in the NFL on a practice squad with the Falcons, the Bucks. Went back to, I don't know what league this is, but the Birmingham Iron, Spokane Shock, and the Frisco Fighters. That might be an indoor league.
Yeah, sounds like it.
But his last year playing football up to date was 2022.
It's not the guy I thought it was going to be, because that guy is off coaching in the UFL. Is it Jake Coker?
You are so... Oh, you're so close.
Ugh. Man, Jake Coker is a good player, too. This was before Saban had a run of, like, elite quarterbacks.
Yes. Yes, before Jalen, Tua, Bryce Young.
Oh, this is hurting.
Jake, you should clip that.
Man, Jake Coker was...
So, I believe he took over for Jake Coker, or was after Jake Coker.
Okay, let's see. I'm trying to think of quarterbacks that started under, because this is my...
We're going deep cuts here tonight. We're going deep cuts.
Is it Cooper Bateman?
No.
We got one.
Second team all SEC in 2014, two-time national champion.
Because this was on the team with where Derrick Henry won the Heisman. Was it Alec Morris?
Nope.
I'm out of guesses. Who is it?
Blake Sims.
Oh! Alabama legend Blake Sims.
Alabama legend. 2014, second team All-SEC, won a national championship in 2012-2013, and spent most of his career in the CFL.
Good for him. I liked Blake Sims. I can't believe I missed that. I'm looking at the roster right now. That running back room was loaded. Derrick Henry, Kenyon Drake, Damian Harris, Bo Scarborough.
Yep.
Unbelievable.
And TJ Yeldon before.
And TJ Yeldon.
TJ Yeldon.
Yeah. And then afterwards, it was Damian Harris got in there, Josh Jacobs.
Najee Harris.
Najee Harris. Is Alabama running back you?
Oh. There's an argument to be made.
Here's an argument to be made. Well,
you know, Texas has some good ones in there.
Yeah, that's true. Tennessee's got some good ones in there.
Georgia. I'd probably say Georgia.
This is a debate for another day.
Yeah.
That'll do it for us here on the 6. My thanks to Parker Kelly for joining us. I'll let you get a head start. Get down there. The Air Raid coming up next with Parker Kelly on the 102.5 YouTube page. I hear it's prediction season, so you're not going to want to miss that. For Parker Kelly, Jake Steigelfest behind the board, my name is Connor Newt, saying so long, no more words for us here on 102.5 The Game. We'll see you tomorrow here on the 6.